Eight grandchildren. So Richard is a retired pulmonary physician in Wichita, and I had heard that this guy was leading Bible studies when I was in medical school, last part of medical school, and I found him, even though I'm this high, he was up there, but I walked up to him bravely and said, hey, I hear you lead some Bible studies, and he met with me and mentored me for a number of years and has maintained that relationship, so I'm very thankful for that. We've asked Richard to share his testimony, and so we'll ask him to come now and do that, and following that, Ron Bennett will address us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Is it on? Are we okay?
Yep.
Is it?
Very
okay,
good.
My voice has gotten somewhat fainter over the years, so I'll try to speak up. David introduced me as a pulmonary pulmonologist. Most people don't know what that is. And I tell them it's a chest doctor, and they say, well, doc, I got this rash on my chest. What do you think about that? That didn't work either. So I basically tell people I'm a doctor of diseases with a specialty in sneezes and wheezes. That seems to get the message across. I practiced for 42 years in Kansas, having returned there after my residency. But let me go back to the beginning. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and to tell anyone about Jesus. I enjoy that. That's the occupation that God called me to do. By the grace of God, I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents were followers of Christ, as were their parents. We lived next door to a church that we attended Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And while I slept through some of that and played games through some of that, I was mostly there. My parents really typified what I saw was true in the Gospels and in the Bible. They lived a life that was godly, and I could see that even as a child. And it really made an impact on me. I could furthermore see that what the Bible said was true in and of itself. It was consistent. I knew it was consistent about what it said about me. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. And even as a child, when I saw a sign that says, keep off the grass, there was something in me that wanted to step on that grass. I don't know if you've had that within you as well. But rest of that verse says, only like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And even when I was very young, I realized that Christ had paid the penalty for my sins. He died on the cross to purchase a place in heaven for me, which he offered as a gift. And this gift was received by faith. Although I was not aware of the verse in John 1:12, where it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I did believe on his name, and I was around 8, 10, 12, I'm not even sure the exact time. But I grew up knowing with confidence that Christ had done that for me. I was less aware, however, of what Christ had done in me. And in high school and college particularly, I ran into some friends who are not the best, and although the church's mantra when I grew up was don't smoke, drink, or chew, or date girls that do, I did date some that smoked and drank. However, and I'm very fortunate for this, very grateful, I never dated any that chewed. Very thankful for that the Lord didn't leave me that way. Following medical school, I was married, and we lived for a year in Kansas City and then up in Rochester, Minnesota, where I finished my training. Came back to Wichita. At that time we had a little girl about 3 months old, and within a year, so a year's time, my practice was busy and flourishing. We paid off most of the debts. I worked through medical school, so didn't have a lot of debt. And I'd achieved my goals, having passed all my board exams. So my life really had pretty much concluded with everything I'd set out to do. So I kind of looked around. About that time, the church that we came back to attend kind of fell apart. And I remember asking the Lord, we came back here to attend this church, and now it's dissolved. What are you going to do? And he kind of whispered to me, not audibly, but in my spirit, he said, now that you have completed your goal for your life, let me show you what my goal is. And he said, I want you to come to me. I want you to spend time with me. That time I was swimming about an hour or so a day at noon at the Heskett Center over at Wichita State. And I saw a verse in 1 Timothy, I think 4:8, said physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for this life and the life to come. So I stopped the swimming, picked up the Bible, And I just spent noon with the Bible. I went down to different bookstores, picked up books by different authors, and read them, kind of devoured them for about an hour a day. After about 6 months of that, the Lord said, you know, we could spend that time elsewhere. I want you to take what you learned about me and begin to communicate that to the people. So I began to do that. In medical school, I spent about a week at a campus crusade retreat in Kansas City and learned a little bit about sharing the gospel. So I began to use campus crusade materials and tell others about Christ. Actually, quite a few people came to the Lord during that year or so, but I really didn't know what to do with them. I'd send them some campus crusade material. I would pray for them. I'd see them occasionally. Many of them were from out of town. But I really had no clue what discipleship was. My two partners took me aside about that time because with my telling people about Christ, apparently the word had gotten out in the city. And they came to me quite concerned. They said, the fact that you're telling people about Jesus will ruin your practice. You're not going to get any consults. Your career is going to be a failure. Unless you stop doing that, you're no good to relate to our community. I think there was concern about their practice as well, although they didn't say so audibly. The other thing that happened about that time, a physician that I knew by the name of Harvey Ellis came to me and said, you know, we're starting a Memorize the Word group. And we're going to look at 72 verses over a 24-week period of time. We'd like you to join us. I said, no, I don't believe I would. The reason for that was when I was 10 years old, my mom started me on scripture memory. And she wanted me to memorize a chapter. You'll never guess which chapter she chose. 119th Psalm, 176 verses. And to bribe me, she gave me a dime for every eight verses. A dime for every eight verses. And I was into this occupation for about 50 cents worth, and I realized this is a hard way to make a living. And I gave it up, and I didn't memorize a thing from then on. This fellow that I told no to kept hounding me week after week. Finally, about 6 weeks went by, and he says, I think you're not coming, are you? And he's quick on the uptake, the fact that I've been not there for 6 weeks. And he said, really, why aren't you coming? And I really had no good reason. So I said, well, what night are you meeting? He said, Tuesday. And I thought, there's my out. I said, Tuesday is my evening with the family. He looked crestfallen and went away. And the next day, he was the first person to spot me coming out the elevator. Big smiles all over. And he says, I have good news for you. And I said, uh-oh. He said, I visited with the entire group. And they're going to meet on Monday just so you can come. Boy, I was really trapped. I showed up. But this time, each one of those six people, I had 18 verses. And as they began to share those, I think the Lord sends to my spirit, this is what you need. This is what you need. So I joined that group, and 2 months later, at a party at that house, met a man by the name of Jim Morris. And Jim did several things I think that were very significant. One was he began to go over and initiate a relationship with me. Asked me about my background, how practice was going. He'd heard that I was sharing the gospel. How was I doing it, following those people up? And I said, not so well. He said, we'd like to chat a bit about that. Maybe we can get together for lunch. So we did, and we actually kept meeting for about a year. He would share stories. We would talk a little bit about the Bible, how he had related to other people, things that he had found important for him to share with them, and things that they would share with him. During that year also, I traveled with him to hear Jerry Bridges speak up in Emporia, I believe it was. Leroy Imes was giving a talk up at Rock Springs Ranch. We would travel there together. He'd bring in different people. He brought in a fellow by the name of Jim Downing, some of you will remember. Still remember the conversation we had with him at that table with Jim. And this went on for about a year, during which he invested time with me. At the end of that time, he also involved me with his life. He was invited to lead a Memorize the Word for the next year, invited me to join him. And again, I could see him during that year relate to people and encourage them, be with them, guide them, and direct them. At the end of that year, at least somewhere during all that time, he invited me to become a part of a disciple-making team here in Wichita. looking back on those years and time that I spent with Jim, the Navigators, there's really about four things that stand out that made a difference throughout my life. One was I learned the importance of the Word of God, Jim would say sometimes that he wished he could get into a man's heart and change him with his spirit, with giving him the goals, the desires, the passion for things that he ought to be doing. He realized he couldn't do that, but if he could get the Word of God into a person's life, the Holy Spirit could do that. And I began to sense that in my life as well. The more scripture I have in my heart, the more the Holy Spirit can use it to direct me and give me counsel through me to others. One of the things I was doing when people would come to the Lord, but I'd give them some material, encourage them to read it, and not really much follow-up on getting them into the Word. What Jim told me, and this was approximately 53 years ago, you need to give them a little booklet called Beginning with Christ. There's five verses in it, assurances. You read that first part with them, you get them started on 1 John 5:11 and 12. Make sure they have a Gospel of John. You give them 7 minutes with God, and then you see them again as soon as you can. Well, I remembered that. It's about 2 months ago, I spent time with a young man from Paraguay, and 2 weeks ago, he confessed Christ. And I thought he might that night, because we were about to finish a series of gospel lessons, and I had prepared a Gospel of John, 7 minutes with God, and a beginning with Christ. So we went through that, and we started memorizing that first verse together. I think many of the groups that I have led at church, and that my wife and I have led in our home, are focused really on either the 2-7 program or Memorize the Word, because it's from that core of people who are faithful, available, teachable, that we find couples and individuals who really have a heart and a hunger and a passion for the Lord that we can spend individual time with. The second thing that I think that Jim instilled in my mind was the value of the individual. He would share a story several times about how he had turned down a significant position in some committees or significant position in a workshop or a conference to really just find one man. Because he knew if he could focus on that man could multiply his life and ministry. I thought it was kind of a silly story when he first mentioned it. About the third time, I began to get the idea. And it was later that I remember Paul had this experience too in 2 Corinthians. He says he came to Troas, he could not find Titus. So he left and went to Macedonia. Always wondered about that for years, but now I know why. He wanted to reply and to redouble his efforts through that one person. And I think he knew what someone has said since, that a legacy is not what you leave behind, it's what you set in motion for the future. And so with people, I found that you can set things in motion for the future. To see through the four generations, what Paul was talking about, and that's really what Jim emphasized, what I found important in my life. The third thing that I think the Lord really directed me well through Jim was the value of a team, the value of an individual, a team. Not just one person working by himself, but where you have a group. Well, I needed that for accountability. I needed that for ideas and resources that I get from others. I needed that for encouragement. I need that for prayer support, and I still need that. I'm on a couple of teams, and I would not do well without them. The fourth thing, and that is the objective that's stated in our blue pamphlet. And we were encouraged to memorize that when we became part of the team years ago. It says, my objective is to know Christ in my own life in ever-increasing depth, make disciples, develop laborers at all times under any conditions I go. This world is always trying to press us into different commitments, groups, organizations, boards, committees, etc., etc. The list is endless. You can even be on a Save the Whale or Save the Spotted Owl committee these days. And I don't know how many times that has prevented me from making the wrong choice and guiding me into that which is critical for my life. Shortly after returning to Wichita, or shortly after I became a part of the Navigator team, I was offered a job down in Florida. I'd never lived in Florida before. One of exciting Jacksonville was going to be the site of a new Mayo Clinic down there, and a friend of mine from Rochester wanted me to come down there and get the pulmonary section started. So my wife and I prayed about that for a couple of days, but then we realized that that would be a consuming job. It would take all my time. Here in Wichita, I had the opportunity to set my own hours to a major extent, how much I worked, when I worked. There, I wouldn't have that at all. So we turned that down. A few years later, the same offer similarly came from Eisenhower Medical Center in California. They did some of the pulmonary department to start that. Tempted to go there. I mean, that area of California, I hear, is beautiful. We had not been there at the time, and again, we prayed about that for a day or two, but I can't think it is, again, because of that objective, to know Christ in my own life and ever-increasing death. How would that job enable me to have more time with the Lord? How would it enable me to have more time with individuals? It would not, so we turned that down. So those are the four things, I think, that stand out to me that I learned from Jim, that I learned from the Navigators. One more thought, and then I'll close. And earlier, I think it was 1972, when my partners warned me that my career was going south, and I would not have any patience, and I would go broke, I'd go belly up, simply from talking to people about Jesus. 2005, I left the office and started working as an intensivist. That's another big word. But basically, I would control intensive care units. One would be in St. Joe, one in St. Francis. Initially, it was St. Francis for a couple of months, and then I moved over to St. Joe. After about a week there, one of the Catholic sisters came up to me, and she said, she was one of the nuns there, one of the chaplains, and she said, do you still work for Campus Crusade? I said, well, I never did work for Campus Crusade, but I used their material. And she said, well, I thought you were that doctor. Says, well, you say when you came to town, we heard there this doctor over Wesley that was telling people about Jesus. So since we heard that, we've been sending all the patients we can over your way. Isn't that exciting? So most of the time, we never really know what God is doing. Sometimes we never find out. Sometimes he tells us after 33 years. So, but his promise is still good. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.